Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at activespirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the second last week of this year, 2020, week 52, starting with Monday, December the 21st, the winter solstice, and Pamela Cuccinelle is going to provide for us, as always, I'm sure, a very informative forecast for the week. And then I'm going to jump in with our 10-minute turbo boost meditation. And Pam, I wish you a happy winter solstice.
Many thanks, and to you too, my friend. So let us talk about this week. This is, in many ways, I see this as a very auspicious week. And as you don't need me to tell you, although you have heard me say many times, 2020 has been a year for the ages in many ways. The things that happen, the celestial phenomena, what we've been moving through. And last week with the solar eclipse, new moon in Sagittarius has set the platform and the stage for the denouement of 2020 and how we build the foundation and move forward in 2021. And doesn't mean that January 1st happens and everything magically is better, but it does mean that energetically, we have passed through a lot of these gateways that have been, well, in many ways, it may feel like Inanna passing through the gateways of the underworld. And that's a story you can read about on my website, insightoasis.com. But pretty much to make that a little more succinct, this year, 2020, has been a lot about our moving through what has felt like, for many of us, the gates of hell or Hades. And if you know about mythology, and if you've done a lot of reading about that kind of information, when people go into the underworld, they don't typically come out again as mortal. And yet it's also a metaphor for going into the very darkness within and being reborn, being resurrected. And so here we are at this winter solstice, which is so symbolic of birth and new beginnings, because the winter solstice marks roughly 3 days of darkness until the light starts to come back in. And this dovetails, of course, with the Christian story where Christ is born on Christmas Day as the light is starting to move very, very slowly into longer days. But on the winter solstice, we are at the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, Southern Hemisphere, different story. But the thing that's the same, regardless of what hemisphere you sit on, is that we are at a time when the relationship of the sun and the earth is moving into its next half, whatever that means from whatever perspective. So the solstice points are points when The sun is either as far north or as far south from the equator from our perspective until it appears to stand still and then come back. And therefore, it marks a point when, from our perspective, it appears as though we are resetting for another half of the year. So the solstice points are very charged about here we are, winter solstice, the perspective of Northern Hemisphere. Here we are on the short days where we want to bring back the light, reverse in Southern Hemisphere. But we are at a bridge where we are resetting or coming back to a new orientation, a fresh perspective of how heretofore we have viewed all this. And so it's always a point of reflection. And this particular winter solstice of 2020 is major because not only do we have that 0 degrees Capricorn that happens at 5:03 a.m. Eastern time, adjust depending on where you are on the planet, but the other major celestial event that's happening is the exact Great Conjunction. And the Great Conjunction is when Jupiter and Saturn, from our perspective, are in alignment. And this one is very big because not since 1226, yes, I'm talking about medieval times, has Earth been able to observe such a close alignment of Jupiter and Saturn. So it will almost appear, if you're fortunate enough to be somewhere where you've got a clear night, it will almost appear as though you can see a star point, which is the planet point, of Jupiter start to look bigger. Because what's happening is Saturn's orbit behind it seems to make that point in the sky look brighter. This also occurred in 1623, but it wasn't observable from Earth's perspective. It was right in front of the sun. So obviously, if you're looking at Jupiter and Saturn and the sun is in the sky, you can't see it. So what does this mean symbolically? Well, again, you can read about it more in depth on my website or all over the internet, actually, because many people are writing about it. But the movement of Jupiter and Saturn has to do with economic cycles. And so financial astrologers really pay attention to Jupiter and Saturn. The rest of us do as well, but we may not be as savvy as the financial astrologers that we look to for this kind of information. But pretty much what's happening is Jupiter expands and Saturn contracts. So when the two are in alignment, we are in this balance point about what happens in markets and economic growth that has to do with expansion and contraction. And because this is occurring in the sign of Aquarius, which in the 1980s, Saturn and Jupiter dipped into an air sign briefly, which kind of kicked off the whole internet, World Wide Web, communication expansion in a digital electronic way, because air has to do with communication, collaboration, technology, innovation. But basically, we were coming off the end of the Earth cycle when Jupiter and Saturn dominated Earth sign energy. So Earth is about substance, material, production, manufacturing, stuff. taking from natural resources, and we are changing. So people are resisting, not all of us, obviously, but a lot of corporate or old ways of being in patterns are resisting the inevitable shift, which as of the winter solstice is here. And it's here to stay for at least as we look the next 140 years or so, because there is a kind of shifting that happens when the elements change signs. But basically, we look at it as pretty much 200 years of what the dominant way of doing industry, business, economy is. So what does that mean for you as an individual? Well, on the winter solstice, it's a wonderful time to look at what do I want to bring in the realm of communication, things that expand my sense of collaborative ability, networking, creative ideas, innovation, welcoming in a sense of the future and recognizing that the past is a foundation, but it is not what will stay. The other thing that's really intriguing is that air sign energy, Aquarius, is really welcomes in youthful energy. So it doesn't mean those of us who are over 30 become obsolete, but it does mean that the opportunity for young voices, youthful ideas, a kind of exuberant experimentation comes in that welcomes in possibilities that have not been really acceptable prior to this point in time. The winter solstice is well aspected. It, as I said, the exact point, 5:03 a.m., this Jupiter-Saturn conjunction I'm talking about actually occurs when the moon is void of course. So the moon goes void of course at 5:24 a.m. So it's really good to do your pre-dawn thoughts either the night before or if you're an early riser, your meditation intention about what it is you're welcoming in. And when the moon is void of course, we're not in a point where we're really about let's start something new, let's initiate a new thought, let's call a new client, let's concretize a deal. We're more in a place of nebulous energy that's got to do with clean up, deconstruct, put things in order, set the stage for the next scene that comes in. And interestingly, that's when the exact alignment happens, when that moon is void of course. So that suggests to me that, again, it's this sense of what is taking form. And it's imperative that as many of us who welcome innovation, change, experimentation, creativity, youthful endeavor, youthful exuberance, that as many of us who really welcome in new possibilities hold that space over this span of time, because there will be people who feel lost, who feel unmoored, who have a sense of they don't know what's going to happen next. So the more energy that's directed into hopefulness and exuberance, the higher the boat can kind of float in the sea of confusion that some people will be feeling. At 5:32 p.m., the moon enters the sign of Aries. And once this happens, then we're in different energy, which is very let me say this a little differently, actually. One thing I hadn't mentioned is that the moon has been in Pisces at the time of the winter solstice, very fecund energy, very much about riding with that new moon, waxing moon cycle, and really putting into fruition or planting seeds of possibilities. But once the moon moves into Aries at 5:32 p.m., now we're in a very assertive energy. And so those of us who are clear about where we're going and what our intentions are can really move forward with that, with a sense of direction and energy. What's important, the 22nd looks like a really good day too for collaborations, mending fences, seeing where things are going. What's important is to keep in mind that some people are going to be unsettled. Some people are going to want to confront or object. And this gets especially intense as we move towards the morning of the 23rd. There's a picture in the sky between Mars and Pluto. One of the things some of us say is Mars certainly is the planet that has to do with desire, how we assert ourselves, aggression and anger. Forcefulness, warrior energy. And Pluto is the higher octave of Mars. So Pluto is very, it's a force that dominates and will take as long as it takes to push through whatever it needs to push through, and can be quite unrelenting. So this can be used in ways that are very powerful and creative and positive, or it can be used in ways that are manipulative in a negative sense, destructive and punitive. So when Mars and Pluto are in square and hard aspect to one another, it's very important that you are aware of your agenda and also the agenda of people around you, because you don't want to get caught in to somebody's negative spin, whatever it may be, or a power struggle that is not going to be productive. And so ideally, this is something you might witness on the news or with other people where they're kind of spinning out, but you don't want to get engaged with it. For those of us who have this kind of configuration in our personal horoscope, it's very important time to be aware of what it is that you may be angry about or feeling frustrated about, so that you can use that as a tool to understand, how do I be more productive with this energetically? Because these configurations, when we have them, and I'm speaking personally because I happen to have this exact configuration, and I know it's certainly not, and it's like giving a kid a a high power motorcycle or weapon and not having taught that kid how to use it. Obviously, at this point in my life, I've developed a lot of awareness about the power of it and the beauty. When someone has Mars Pluto aspects, is that it is tremendously powerful at stripping down to whatever the grievance or point of conflict is, and turning it around. But one has to be aware they have it. It's a surgical orientation. And obviously, if somebody's wielding a sharp object and really doesn't know the power and strength of it, they can get, you know, they can cause trouble. So when this is moving through by transit, those of us who engage with this energy on a regular basis can really kind of laser focus with it. But if we encounter it and we're kind of not aware of it, it can throw us. So that's why I'm letting you know that it's a powerful energy that's out there, one that you can work with effectively. But the most important thing is don't get baited and cool down situations that have a tendency to inflame. And actually, this is a really well-aspected day for those of us who ride through those kind of flare-ups with total awareness and alertness. So stay alert on December 23rd and don't get baited. So the moon goes void, of course, at 5:51 p.m., stays in the sign of Aries. Great evening to burn off any excessive energy with exercise or ways that you can just move through it. Walking outdoors, excellent for it. On the 24th, the moon enters the sign of Taurus at 5:55 a.m. And this is the energy we're working with as we get into Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Kwanzaa. And I actually love this particular Christmas after doing forecasts for many years. It's lovely to see the moon in Taurus so beautifully aspected as we go through this series of sacred markings, whether you're someone who celebrates Christmas or not, or Kwanzaa. These are days where it really speaks about being grateful for what you have, planning meals and focusing on things that give you a sense of feeling anchored and appreciating what you have. And a lot of us with the pandemic are very focused on what we don't have, what we're not able to take advantage of. And it's so important to realize, especially those of us who are comfortable or have, you know, basic things like food, shelter, some people in our lives who we can connect to during this, to recognize the people who don't. And so it's a wonderful time to practice gratitude and give in whatever capacity you can, because the exponential growth and effects of anything that's given or appreciated during these couple of days is enormous. And it plants the seeds in the dark of winter time or the brightness of summer, depending on where you are on the planet. But it plants the seeds of where we're going in 2021. The moon goes void, of course, at 6:31 a.m. on the 26th. And it's void basically for 12 hours. It goes into the sign of Gemini, 6:33 p.m. So it's a lovely day to just do quiet, reflective, appreciative, very grounded things. When it goes into the sign of Gemini at 6:33 p.m., then it's starting to really book. Energetically, things are moving. So, you know, if you get on the computer at that point in time, you may find yourself very, very busy. And a lot of communication and connections that happen on the 27th Sunday as well. These are strong energetic days for making connections, having communication that really can grow into something that has a lot of focus and direction. So whoever it is you want to reach out to or responds to you or reaches out to you, give back, especially anything that's useful, creative, vibrant energy, because this is setting the stage for where we're going. And now I turn it over to Susie.
And the eternal optimist. which I have been labeled many a times. So just before I go into the meditation, Pam's talking about the act of giving, the act of sharing. During the last year, I've been working very closely with Chief Oren Lyons and Chief Arva Looking Horse, who are very special individuals here in North America, and they've reached out to me asking us to help raise funds for the Indigenous people here in North America, for the Native Americans who are suffering from really, really severe, extremely severe conditions due to COVID. So if anybody would like to assist, please drop us an email through our website, and I will be so happy to share information with you. Thank you. Okay. So let us go into our second last meditation for this year. I invite everybody to take a place of quiet, of stillness, of silence, and as you just collect yourself, taking a few deeper breaths. And there's something that I like to do, which I'd like to share with you, which is a little personal thing that I do just before I'm about to start a meditation. I look at a plant. I have a house full of house plants, but I also live in the forest. So I either look outside to the tree or to anything that might be flowering at the time, or I look to one of my beautiful plants inside. And I like to have that living plant, that Mother Nature, as the last image that I take with me into my meditation. And you'll find that it actually does make a difference. I find that it's like an imprint of something that we take with us into that state of closed eyes. So if you have something around you that you can have a quick look at, do that. Also, I'll use a crystal, but I like to use something that's actually alive and living in the sense of our carbon biology. Okay, so after we've taken our little glance, we close our eyes, we take a deep breath, and we say thank you to the plant world for providing the oxygen for us. A nice little relationship there. And as we breathing in, just becoming totally still, totally present and aware, all the things that we have to think about, all the things that we have on our list, all the things that we're in the middle of doing, all of our relationships with the world, just allow everything just to be still. They will be there when you return, no doubt. But when you return, you might be in a different state. So let's just give ourselves that little tiny space of just 10 minutes to be here. And as we drop into that state, just feeling ourselves, finding the happy space. Wherever you can, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your memories. And if you've never, ever been happy in your life, then make it up. Find the imaginary space. And as we know from our experiences and the things we've learned spiritually and things we've learned scientifically, quantum mechanics, things like that. We know that the imagination is just as much a real place, really, on a certain level, as this reality that we are supposedly in, this 3D reality, this reality that has to do with time and with space. So go and find a happy place, a place where there is fulfillment, where there is joy, a place where there is happiness. Try and find that place that could be unconditional happiness. And not necessarily concentrating on what's made you happy, whether it's people or a situation or a landscape. Just now tap into the actual state, the sensation. How do you feel emotionally in your body, in your mind, when you feel happy? So we're not recreating necessarily the situation or a memory. We're not attaching the happiness state to anything except just to itself, just to the happiness state. We might use a couple of little lures or tricks to get us there. We might use some memories or conditions, but once we're there, just capture the state. And you can visualize this state now as a beautiful, glowing, green seed of light at the heart center. You can imagine that it's quite small, like the size of a walnut, an acorn. And the light is intense, intense, green, vibrant light. It is the light of joy, of love. And as you're visualizing that light now, just see it very, very gently starting to come out from that small space and start to fill up your chest cavity, your physical chest cavity. So now you're glowing with this beautiful green light. And then visualize it really going inside every single cell, all the way penetrating down to the atomic level, to the subatomic level. It is the light of happiness, of loving kindness. And as you're visualizing this particular color, you're creating a frequency in your body. You're creating a frequency in your whole electromagnetic sphere. And the cells are responding. The thoughts are responding. And even the beings around you can feel that. And as you're holding this light now, it's moving from the chest cavity up through the neck and into the head, down through your arms and your hands, down through your legs to your feet. And now you are a glowing, luminescent, green light. And you can feel these ripples of light now radiating from your heart center, radiating out to all of the beings around you. You're not choosing who receives and who doesn't receive. It just goes everywhere. It interacts with every single atom in its environment. And it brings about tremendous optimism. And we are reminded that we are the ones now. We are the ones now in our household, in our families, in our communities. We are the ones now at our place of work. We are the ones now that will hold this green light of loving kindness. And we will, in every single situation, with reality, of course, but we will bring optimism. We will bring hope. We will always strive to find a resolution, an understanding, peace. We will strive to be the one that understands, the one that reaches even more and stretches even more to be compassionate, to be generous, to be loving and kind. And as we do this, we feel this green light becoming more and more radiant. And gently, as we open our eyes, we leave this running constantly on the back burner inside us. This meditation is constantly going. It's going to be our default setting, that we are always being the optimist, the bringer of light, the bringer of peace. Taking a few deeper breaths, gently opening our eyes. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. We are so happy to share with you every week. Thanks so much for being with us. Love now.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinelle of ActiveSpirituality.life. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find the link for that, ActiveSpirituality.life. Regardless, we look forward to having you join us again for next week's podcast. Please share and have a great week.